Welcome back to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. We're bringing Susan into the conversation in Rainbow Valley. Good morning, ma'am, and welcome to the program.
Hi. I've got an African sumac. It's about 35 years old. It's in my grass, and it's got its own separate deep water. But it flowered out early this year in February, and then it made it through that little cold spell, and it didn't reflower. But last month, it just kept dropping leaves, and it's as thin-leaved as I've seen it, and I don't see new growth. So I'm wondering if I should fertilize it.
How long has it been since you have?
A long time.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
It probably needs it.
Okay. So I'll just fertilize it. And any specific type of fertilizer for that kind of tree?
Well, you want to use something suitable, you know, for trees and shrubs. Do you fertilize your lawn? You said it's
We do, but I have horses, and I usually spread my manure everywhere.
Okay, so horse manure has maybe 1% nitrogen.
Uh-huh.
It has very little fertilizer value. You're getting some good organic material. But if you wanted to stay with an organic like that, of course, I'm kind of partial to chicken manure, but you know, you can get 4 to 6% nitrogen that way and get it in a pelleted form.
I actually have chickens.
Well, raw, you know, you got to be a little bit careful using non-dehydrated chicken manure right out of the coop.
Okay.
That can be a little bit hot. But,
okay.
But that being the case, if you wanted to do your own and compost it and dehydrate it, you could do that. So a good chicken manure, organic fertilizer, or go, you know, Fertilome tree and shrub food. Organo makes a good product if you want to go more conventional. But something with a reasonable amount of nitrogen in it. Horse manure and dairy cow manure just doesn't have enough nitrogen to really get the fertilizer values that we need, especially if your tree's already, lacking.
My mother-in-law gave me a book called The Chicken Farmer, and it's a book on how to raise your chickens over your lawn and how to, in a cage, and move it so it's constantly fertilizing. It's this completely, you know, self-sustaining method. But on my lawn, I roll in it with the kids and I play and wrestle. And I just, like, I might do that for the, I'll read it maybe when we get the pasture done for grazing, but on the lawn, I'm rolling in and laying in and picnicking.
I really don't want a chicken cage on my lawn that I'm moving around either. That ain't the greatest look.
I'll go buy the pelletized stuff from the store for now.
Yeah, 15, 20 bucks for a 50-pound bag of pelletized chicken manure. Keep the chickens in the coop. Take that, clean it out, add that to your compost. Make a nice compost with it. It makes a great compost. Take your green waste and your kitchen waste and mix it with your chicken manure and make one heck of a great compost for your vegetable garden.
We appreciate the call, Susan. Have a great Arizona Saturday morning. Jake emailed in, wants to know if it's too late to plant dichondra.
Well, you're kind of in the middle. I would wait till we get some monsoonal activity, get some moisture back in the air. Fall is a great time to plant dichondra if you do it in the early fall. I'm not saying you can't. You could, but it would take some diligence and a fair amount of water to get it established this time of year. But if I was doing it, I'd probably wait till September to do it.
That was an email in at info@rosieonthehouse.com. We also have text in this example. The individual, it's a 602 number, wants to know, is it too late to plant ornamental sweet potatoes for ground cover?
Oh, heavens no. I don't think it can get too hot for them. we've got a big pot of it out there at the nursery that's spreading out on top of the asphalt.
That's an Arizona plant, right?
You give it a little bit of water, and it doesn't like the cold. I mean, they will freeze back. So, but no, not too late. Good time to do it.
There's a couple of those really hardy ones that you just can't see. Bougainvillea, even if it gets a little burnt, man, those things. Oleanders, there's some hardy ones out there.
Well, this is a great time to drive around and look at landscapes. If you're thinking about doing a landscape or redoing your landscape, drive around and see what looks good now. Because if it looks good now, it's bulletproof. The things you mentioned, so Red Bird of Paradise, Oleander, Dwarf and Regular Oleander, Texas Sage or Texas Rangers, Lantanas, Bougainvilleas. I mean, there's 8 or 10 things. I know we get the constant comment. We show people things, and everybody's got those. Well, there's a reason everybody's got them. They do really well in our extreme situations of heat. And then you start, so you use those in your impact areas, your big foundational areas. And then in the flower bed or in the pod or in the places where it's not as critical, if something doesn't look good all the time, that's where you mix in, some exotic things or some things that, may or may not do well. Or heck, maybe they don't live here in the summer at all. We need to be more like they are in the Midwest. In the Midwest, they have one season. I say Midwest, colder climates. They have one season. They go in and they plant all kinds of cool stuff, knowing that it's going to die. Now, they don't do that with trees and the foundation plants up against their house, but in their flower beds, their pots, their containers, their accent areas. I mean, you go back there, you see hibiscus and cannas and lantanas and bougainvilleas in those places for summer color, for spring and summer color. Then it dies in the winter. I think we need to have a little bit more of that mindset. We're so worried about it looking good all year round. Well, we can have a foundation that looks good all year round, but we can sure have some really cool, impactful places of pots, containers, flower beds that maybe in the summer you just let them go empty. You fallow them, you let it go on vacation. Quit. I'm having to have somebody come to my house while I'm gone for a week here in a couple weeks and water my pots, because I got all these pots full of cool plants. Well, that may or may not be the best idea.
But in your
and they case, don't look that and they don't look that good anyway right now. It's I mean, quite honestly, I'm just kind of keeping them alive. They would look a whole lot better if I just tore the stuff out, let it go, and then come fall bought brand new stuff. It might be $100. And it'd look good for 9 or 10 months. And next June or July, I tear it out and start all over. I think I just convinced myself to go.
You got your afternoon project.
Follow my own advice here. Physician, heal thyself. Come on now.
Question online wants to know, we were talking fertilizing with the last caller, and their bag says don't fertilize when it's over 80.
Well, it depends on what you're using. You read the label. If the instructions say that, then do it. Now, it may have some weed killer in it or something, or it may have some kind of, I don't know what is in it. So, we fertilize in hot weather here because that's when plants are, the hot weather adapted plants that we have are growing. Our lawns, our summer lawns have to be fed. Some days it's hard to find a point in the day where it's not. Where it's under 80. 82 this morning at 5:30 on my drive into the nursery. So, but I'm not saying you should go ahead and use it. There's some reason they've put that on there. You need to buy a different fertilizer.
Find a different fertilizer. Yeah. And it's better to fertilize it than not fertilize it in this kind of heat, like you were saying. They need a little bit of help.
Absolutely. Now, plants that have just been suffering or suffered, you don't want to go out and fertilize a struggling, stressed out plant. You want to wait till you start to see some recovery and then start fertilizing. So probably realistically, mid to late monsoon, August, early September, late July, maybe even, just depends on the, but boy, you will see once we start getting humidity back into the air, those trees that had all those burnt leaves, they'll start pushing new growth. And that's then a great sign that get some fertilizer on there to help that. Now, with lawns, we recommend, every 4 to 6, 8 weeks that lawns get fed. So they're growing. Bermuda, you can't get too hot for Bermuda. It loves the heat.
We're talking about the monsoons and, when the rains come and the moisture, but all the benefits. But we should also probably talk about prep for the monsoon. If you've got trees, how many Palo Verdes and mesquite trees end up all over the ground every time it comes.
Yeah, big palaverdes, big mesquites, maybe even eucalyptus that have gotten a lot of big, thick growth. You know, you may want to do some thinning on those so that, you know, the air, the winds can kind of pass through them a little better. If you've got new trees, you want to make sure they're staked properly, ideally double staked with a stake on each side of the tree, supporting it so it can kind of move a little bit in between.
Not so tight that it's...
Right. Yeah. That's how they get stronger. I mean, ultimately, you want to take the stakes off. So, you know, yeah, proper staking, maybe some thinning on particularly palaverdes and mesquites. There are certain things we do not want to trim. Do not trim citrus. Do not trim ficus much this time of year. You don't want to open them up or expose growth that hasn't been exposed to the temperatures. This is a great time, as I'm looking out at Mexican fan palms, to trim Mexican fan palms. Not that they need it for the monsoon, but they've all flowered. They've got all the big flower stalks on them. You can take off the dead growth, get all the seed pods, flower stalks off all at the same time.
Before the wind spreads it all over your yard.
Yeah, if it hasn't already, but yeah, exactly.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. We'll get back and finish our final segment in the Outdoor Living Hour.